From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. It was a late tense night for many primary candidates as conservative Tea Party voters flexed their muscle and defeated some Republican incumbents while other candidates went on to win their party nominations. Shelley Koffler is here to recap local and statewide races, beginning with Lieutenant Governor. Shelley, welcome.
Good morning, Sam.
As expected, incumbent David Dewhurst will be in a runoff with State Senator Dan Patrick of Houston. But, Shelley, the results weren't exactly what Dewhurst was expecting.
No, Sam, they actually weren't. You know, Dewhurst is the incumbent expected to, at the very least, come in first last night. But he came in a distant second, with Patrick capturing 41% of the vote. Dewhurst had 28%. The other candidates, Todd Staples, Jerry Patterson, they trailed in the teens. Now, at his victory party in Houston, Patrick was crediting his strong showing to the Tea Party voters who supported him.
The Tea Party is alive and well. The grassroots is alive and well. Love of God, love of country, love of Texas is alive and well.
Dewhurst now heads into a May 27th runoff looking vulnerable as he faces another Tea Party candidate who's trying to cast him as not being conservative enough. And, of course, that's what Ted Cruz did when he defeated Dewhurst for the U.S. Senate. Dewhurst told his supporters last night that he's likely to prevail by reminding the voters that he helped create Texas jobs and a stronger economy.
So I'm going to be sharing my story of my leadership in creating the best business climate in the country. Over the next 4 years, I want to keep this state moving forward, keep it conservative, keep it growing.
Now, after months of campaigning and millions spent on ads, the field of four Republican candidates for lieutenant governor has now been just reduced to two.
And there appears to be runoffs in a lot of the statewide races. I see on the Democratic ticket, for instance, voters chose entertainer Kinky Friedman with a platform to legalize marijuana for a runoff with Jim Hogan.
Yeah, that's right. Kinky Friedman is back again running for statewide office. And Dallas's David Alamiel, he's a businessman with dental clinics. He will be in a U.S. Senate runoff with Keisha Rogers. You may remember that she's the person that the Democratic Party disavowed because she's a Lyndon LaRouche follower. On the Republican ticket, there's some runoffs for comptroller, agriculture commissioner, also for attorney general, where two North Texans are going to compete. State Senator Ken Paxton of McKinney finished first with 44% of the vote. State Representative Dan Branch of Dallas had 33%, and Bill Zeeble is following that story.
It was a happy crowd at Ken Paxton's election party in Frisco. Paxton backer Rob Holmes said his candidate appealed to Christian and fiscal conservatives at the grassroots level, the same way Paxton's supporter, Senator Ted Cruz, did.
The grassroots movement really was what elected Ted Cruz. So it kind of reflects that grassroots movement as well. All the grassroots people who came and upset that senatorial election are going to be the same people who are going to kind of rise up and go with the same grassroots type of candidate.
Paxton said between now and the runoff, he'll tell voters how he's the real conservative and how he differs from Dan Branch.
Texans chose a friend of Ted Cruz, not someone who was gearing up to run against Ted Cruz just a few short years ago. Texans made it clear that they want a conservative rooted in deeply held convictions, not someone who claims to be a conservative when it's convenient. Texans weren't fooled, and they won't be fooled on May 27th.
Yeah.
At Branch headquarters, with most of the votes already counted, the disappointed-looking Dallas representative declined an interview. But campaign manager Enrique Marquez said Branch and his team are happy to be in the runoff, and Branch is looking forward to round two. Branch has been characterized by many Tea Party voters as not being conservative enough. But Marquez said his candidate will offer a clear contrast between Paxton's record and Branch's record of conservative results. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
And Shelley, speaking of runoffs, 90-year-old Ralph Hall of Rockwall, the oldest member of Congress, will have to face one with former U.S. Attorney John Ratcliffe.
That's correct. Conservative Ralph Hall did not make it outright with this first attempt. He did place first. Ratcliffe, by the way, is claiming he's not going to make age an issue here. During his campaigning, he's been challenging Hall on his record.
And one of the biggest surprises last night must have been John Corona of Dallas losing his state Senate seat.
It was a very big surprise, although it was a close race, and we all knew it would be close. Corona has held that seat since 1996, but like a number of other Republican incumbents last night, Corona was successfully challenged by a Tea Party-backed newcomer. Stella Chavez has the story of how real estate developer Don Huffines edged Corona out by just 635 votes.
Before the final tally, Corona spoke to his supporters about the hard-fought battle.
I wish I could tell you how this will end. I know how I'd like for it to end, but I also know that things don't always work out in life the way you want.
Corona has been a senator 17 years. He criticized Huffines of negative and nasty campaign tactics. In one case, Corona's depicted as a kind of mafioso in what looks like a poster from the film The Godfather. Despite the turn of events, Corona remained optimistic and philosophical throughout the night.
I am somebody who believes all things in life work out for a reason. Things in our lives, based on our faith, don't happen by accident. They're meant to be.
Huffines supporters would say that means voters were ready for a change. At his election watch party, many said they wanted someone who wasn't a politician. Huffines declined to speak to reporters until a final outcome was clear. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
And the most high-profile race for the fall officially got underway last night.
Yes, that's correct, Sam. Of course, you're talking about the race for governor. It started last night, Wendy Davis, the Democrat, made it official. Republican Greg Abbott also has his party's nomination. So I guess you'd have to say from here on out, it's game on.
And Diwali Saikautau has that story.
Wendy Davis supporters packed a small hall off Main Street in Fort Worth, determined to drown out any doubts about her nomination. When Davis took to the microphone, she thanked voters for making her only the second female gubernatorial candidate in Texas after Ann Richards.
As governor, I will fight to give our kids a 21st century education and an economy built for the jobs of tomorrow.
Then, Davis took aim at a Republican opponent on the issue of education, her top priority.
And then there's Greg Abbott. He's defending those cuts that laid off teachers and forced our kids into overcrowded classrooms. I will be a governor who fights for all freedoms, not just certain freedoms, for certain people.
Davis highlighted her education message by identifying one little girl in the audience who was quietly chanting, "Davis, Davis, Davis."
Thanks especially to that little voice we just heard. That's why we're doing this, right? She is why we're doing this.
At the same time, in San Antonio, Republican supporters were cheering on Greg Abbott after he said, "No way to bigger government in the state of Texas."
We have seen that more government leads to more spending, which leads to more taxes, which would lead to the devastation of the economic miracle that Texas has created.
He went on to talk about safety in homes and communities, and he talked about God.
You know, something is wrong when we live in a state that stops a valedictorian from mentioning God in a graduation speech, but doesn't stop the drug cartels or transnational gangs from terrorizing our cities. As governor, I will put a stop to those priorities and I will keep our community safe.
Abbott also brought up education.
The state can't have a one-size-fits-all approach to educating our children, and we must stop forcing our teachers to teach to so many standardized tests and allow them to truly educate our students to achieve their very best.
Abbott and Davis have already clashed over everything from policy positions to her personal life story to Abbott's campaigning with Ted Nugent. The sparring will likely become more intense as they try to build support for the November election.